Take your Bibles now, and I want you to turn to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. We've been looking at some of the miracles of Christ. We've talked about Jesus, God's answer to man's disappointment. When we looked at that first miracle, he turned the water into wine. And then the next miracle, where we talked about Jesus being the answer to doubt, the nobleman's son was healed. And then we have the Pool of Bethesda, where we saw the miracle that Christ performed, and he's showing that Jesus is God's answer to man's disability. Today we want to look at Jesus as God's answer to man's desire. God's answer to man's desire. John chapter 6, beginning with verse 1. You follow along as I read these verses. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. Keep in mind, in all of these miracles, we've encouraged you to see past the miracle and to see Christ. We must see past the miracle and see Christ. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him. Jesus asked him that question to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. That's because Jesus was God, amen. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There's a lad here, which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down in number, about 5,000. So if they had women with them and children, you can figure about 15,000-20,000 that were there. Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as many as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Now this is a great miracle that took place in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can think of all of the things that were surrounding this and wonder why God chose to have that miracle happen and why Christ chose for it to happen with that little boy. And I believe there are some great reasons that God wants to show us in his word. And one of the things I think we need to see first of all is this, as we look at this story, what took place here, and that is there is no problem that is too big for God. Not one problem that you're facing or that I'm facing that is too big for God. Jesus can solve those problems. And look at verse 5. Jesus asked the question about it. And when he saw the great company come unto him, he said unto Philip, When shall we buy bread that these may eat? And he's just testing him to see what kind of faith he really has. And look at the answer that he gave him. He talked to him about how much they could purchase with just 1 year's salary. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is still not sufficient. He said, if we had at least 1 year's salary and could go buy all of that food right quick, that would not feed this big crowd. It wouldn't be enough to feed all of them. There's no way. What are you saying, God? There's no way that we can feed all of them. Well, he left one thing out, didn't he? He left out something that was very important in the formula, and that was he left out the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. He probably should have said something like this, I don't know Jesus, but I know you know, and we're going to get them fed. But he said, I don't see how we can do that. He left God out just about as much as an atheist would leave God out. Let me ask you this question. Do you leave God out of your formula? Do you leave him out when you have a need? Or do you include him in that great need, that great challenge that you have? A little boy was trying to lift a great big old rock, and he grunted and pushed and did everything that he could, and his daddy was watching him, and he finally said, Son, have you done all that you can, everything that you can do in order to lift that rock? And he said, Dad, I've done everything that I can do. He said, No, son, you hadn't done everything you can do. He said, You haven't called on me. I am your father, and I can help you move that rock. You must remember that I'm available to you to help do that, and that's exactly the way God is in our life. When we run out of our strength, we need to run into his strength. Amen? And sometimes we do run out of our strength. Some of you have come in the building today, and you have problems, a lot of problems. Let me encourage you to double it right now in your mind just for a second. And then after you've doubled it in your mind, then double it one more time. And now ask yourself this question. Is my problem that I have doubled twice too big for God? Is it too much for God to handle? And what's your answer? Absolutely not. There is no problem too big for the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I'm the Lord thy God. Is anything too hard for me? The answer is absolutely not, God. So there's no problem that you have today, whatever it may be, that is too big for God to take care of and to solve. And then I see another thing here. There's no person too small for Jesus to use. There's no ability, no person too small for the Lord Jesus to use. Jesus, by the way, uses people to solve problems. Study in the Word of God over and over and over again. He could have just done it, but he wanted to use somebody. And Jesus wants to use you, and he wants to use me. He uses people to solve problems. And that's why verse 8 and 9 is in there. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There's a lad here, which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But then he asks the question, but what are they among so many? He was sort of struggling a little bit, perhaps, with his faith. But here we have the lad, and here we have Andrew, and the little lad who had a little lunch. It wasn't much. 5 barley loaves, and by the way, the barley loaf was the worst kind of bread, the cheapest kind of bread that you could buy during that time. It wasn't the best bread. It was just what poor people would have to eat. And he had a few little fishes with him. I personally think they were sardines, maybe. But they were small fish. How many of you ever been blessed by eating sardines? Oh, we've got a few spiritual people here today. Thank the Lord for it. But here's what we need to see in this. It was a very meager quality and very meager quantity. But God wanted to use it. What are these among so many? Now, if there's going to be a miracle, what's the recipe for the miracle? How is this miracle going to be carried out? First of all, you'll notice that it had to be transferred to Jesus. It doesn't do us any good to hold it in and hang on to it. You've got to release it and release yourself and transfer it to the Lord Jesus Christ. How much did the little boy keep? I don't think he kept anything, do you? He didn't say, well, you can have 3 of these loaves, and I got to keep 2 or 4, and I'll keep 1, or you can have 1 of those fish, but you can't have both of those fish. What he did was gave everything to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you something today, and I hope your answer would be yes. But do you want God to really use you? Do you really and truly, honestly, in your heart, want God to really use you? Friend, if God is going to use you, then you've got to yield everything over to him. You've got to give him everything. You've got to present your whole self to the Lord Jesus Christ if you want God to use you. He who saves his life shall lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake shall find it. We must yield everything to the Lord Jesus Christ if he's going to use us. And some just have not come to that place in their spiritual life. it had to be transferred to Jesus. By the way, notice you cannot outgive God. He gave it all to him, and I believe God gave it all, gave enough of him back, and maybe a little bit extra in the basket that he had. You cannot outgive God. You people that hadn't learned to give and tithe, I'm telling you, you just are missing a blessing in your life. It's an exciting thing to give to God and watch God give it back and multiply it. And I'm not saying you're going to wind up driving a Rolls Royce, but I'm telling you, you cannot outgive God. I know through practice, and I know through the Word of God. And this little boy said, here's what I've got here. Take it, Lord. Not only take it, but take all of it, Lord. And that's the attitude we should have in our lives. And then we notice that Jesus did take it, didn't he? It was taken by the Lord Jesus Christ. When we bring things to him, he's willing to take it. If we'll give it, he'll receive it. He says, if you'll just give even a cup of cold water in my name, I'll recognize that. One cup of cold water given in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he says, I will recognize that. Now, Jesus does not ask us for what we do not have. You'll see he didn't ask that little boy for what he didn't have. He asks us for what we do have. Whatever that is, he wants that. Mary had an alabaster bottle of perfume, and she broke it and anointed the Lord Jesus Christ with it. And the Bible says she hath done what she could. That's what she had. That's what she gave to Jesus. She presented it to him. She had done what she could. Let me ask you a question. Think about it. Is there anybody who cannot do what you can do? Is there anybody who cannot do what you can do? Well, you say the question is silly. It may be, but it makes a point. You see, God doesn't ask us for what we can't do, but he does ask us for what we can do, and we can do what we can do. What we've got to do is take whatever it is that we have and transfer it to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, here I am, here it is, God. Please take it and use it for your glory. Transfer it to Christ, and he'll take it. And then after it is transferred to him and he takes it, thank God he touches it. I'm glad he touched it. You see, we've got to have the touch of God, and it'll be transformed by the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 11 tells us, they set all of them sat down, and he fed the multitudes. It was given to him, and then he touched it, and the multitudes were fed. Don't insult God by saying, he can't use me. Don't insult God by saying, God can't use me. I've heard people say, I just don't think there's anything I can do for the Lord much. I'm not worth much in God's work. Listen, God, if you'll surrender what you have to him, I'm not talking about playing games. I mean really get with it and really surrender and really mean business. Then God will take who you are and what you are, and he'll use it. Don't insult God by saying that he cannot use you, because he can. And we need to realize that God specializes in taking the ordinary and making it the extraordinary. Over and over in the Word of God, we see that many, many times. He reminds us by saying, you see your calling, brethren, how that not many mighty nor many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. If we'll just make ourselves available to God, God will take us and use us. And that's what, as I said, Mary did. She gave him all the alabaster box. What about the widow? She gave all that she had that day, the widow's mite. She didn't give more than other people, but she gave what she had. She brought it, and the Lord noticed it. We don't know who any of the other characters were, but we know about that widow lady, because God knew that she gave all of that. You may be too big for God to use. I've met a few people like that. But you're never too small for God to use. If you'll remember that, God will use you. You may be too big or think you're too big for God to use, but you're never too small. God uses small things. So there's no problem too big for God to solve. There is no person too little for God to use. And then there is no hunger that is so deep that Jesus can't satisfy that hunger. There's not one bit of hunger in this world that is so deep that God cannot satisfy that hunger. And again, we go back to verse 11. Jesus took the loaves. When he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples. The disciples to them that were set down. And likewise of the fishes as much as they would. I believe he's saying there they had enough. They could eat whatever they wanted. They could eat all they wanted. Because the Lord was able to do that. And he can meet every need. Now don't forget the purpose of the miracle. We got to understand that. The purpose of the miracle is not just to do some miraculous thing, but there's always a lesson. There's always a spiritual thing involved in that. And the purpose of this miracle is to show everybody that Jesus can meet your spiritual need. Not so much your physical need, though he can do that, but your spiritual need. And so he works that miracle. Now look at verses 25 and 26 in this same chapter. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, they were following him over there, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Now he's getting their attention so he can give them a special lesson. Verse 27, labor not, he says, labor not for meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. He said, you came to get some food from me. You liked what I was doing, and I performed this miracle, and you wanted to eat some fish, and you wanted to eat some bread. But he said, there's a deeper story here, and you need to recognize what that story is. Verse 28, then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. He said, Now you're asking the right questions. Now you're getting down to where the rubber meets the road. And so he is saying, I, Jesus, am the spiritual bread, and you need the spiritual bread. I can do that. That's what our job is, to get that spiritual bread out to people. You know, some people will criticize a church for having a nice building and for keeping it up and spending some money on it and that type thing. And there are even those who would say the best thing to do is to spend all that money on the poor, buy them clothes and feed them rather than have a nice church edifice and a nice building. Well, go tell the banker that. Tell the banker, hey, banker, you need to get rid of your building. And he would look at you as if you were crazy. He would say, I'm in the business, and people need money, and I'm here to loan money to them. Go to somebody who builds a big football stadium like Jerry Jones and say, hey, you don't need that stadium. All you need is a football team. And he'd say, look, people want to have some fun, and people want to enjoy seeing the Cowboys lose and all of that. And therefore, I've built it so they can at least be entertained. And they do entertain us. Go to the gas station man and say, get rid of your building. And he says, no, I can't do that. I've got to have a building and I've got to have a place because I'm going to pump gas and people need gas. And let me tell you something today, folks. People need Jesus Christ. And we need to have a building that reflects the Lord Jesus Christ so that they can come and get the meat and find out what it's about and know how to be saved. People need the Lord. They don't need a social gospel. Amen. The social gospel is preached all around the world. And they say in the social gospel, if we'll meet all of man's physical needs, give them food and give them clothes, then that's going to take care of every need that man has. If I had $7 billion, and I'm a little short of that, but if I had $7 billion and took that and spent it to get a McDonald's for everybody in the world, all of the almost 7 billion people that are in the world today, they would get fed one time and that would be it. And they might have the hunger gone for just a little while, but in a few hours they're going to be hungry again. That's what he's talking about in verse 27, where he said, labor not for the meat which perisheth. Don't work for these things that are temporary and temporal and that are going to perish. Work for the things that have eternal value to them. You say, preacher, is it wrong to help the poor? Not at all. Is it wrong to feed them? Not at all. We have a food bank. We give clothes out to people who need it. That's all right. That's good. But remember, all of that is temporary. And we need to see the difference between the social and the saving gospel. The social gospel is temporary. The saving gospel, thank God, is eternal. The social gospel says, let's make the world a better place to go to hell from. And that's not what we need to do. We need to have the real gospel, and God will honor that. So it is spiritual bread. And then he's telling us that Jesus is supernatural bread. Verse 30, the supernatural bread. Look at it. They said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? And then he begins to talk about manna. And Jesus is going to teach him a lesson. They said, our fathers did manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Do us another miracle, Jesus. Come on with another miracle. Our fathers did eat manna there in the desert. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, and that means it's extremely important, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. He said, that's not the bread you needed, even though God sent it. That's not the bread you really need. I'm the bread that you really need. You don't just need manna from heaven. I am the one that you really, really need. And he says, I want to teach you, but I don't want to use some kind of stunt, some kind of celestial magic just to get your attention and healings and all of that. Those are very poor things when it comes to evangelism. That's what he's saying here. This is not what we need to see. Miracles are a poor form of evangelism. But they wanted another miracle. That's what they're asking for there in verse 30. Now, the only thing that was going to satisfy them was what? Not more manna, not some other miracle. The only thing in this world that ever satisfies is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I mean, he's it. He's the only one. Now, manna was not that true bread, as he said there in verse 31, but it was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. The manna was not the thing. The manna was a type. It was prophetical of the one who was going to come and be the bread of life. How do you parallel those things? Well, manna came down from heaven. So did Jesus. Well, manna lay on the ground. So did Jesus say, I am meek and lowly. And that was his characteristic. It was round, and that reminds us of the eternality of the Lord Jesus Christ, a circle that never ends. It just keeps going and going and going. It was white. That reminds us of the purity of the Lord Jesus Christ. It had the taste of honey. Isn't Jesus sweet today? It reminds us of his sweetness. It was flavored with oil. It reminds us of the anointing of the Lord Jesus Christ. It sustained them physically. That reminds us of Jesus sustaining us after we're saved spiritually, and it was appropriated by them. And if you're going to enjoy it, you're going to have to appropriate the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to reach out and take him. Jesus is that supernatural bread of life. There's no doubt whatsoever about it. Now, Jesus is also that satisfying bread. Look at verse 35. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. Now listen to what he's saying. It's very important what he's saying. He that cometh to me, Jesus, shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Boy, what a statement he made there. If you'll come to Jesus, you'll never hunger and you'll never thirst. Now keep in mind, he's not talking about the physical there. He didn't say if you get saved, you never want to eat any more meals. You know better than that. We know too many saved Baptists that eat a whole lot. But what he's saying is, spiritually, if you'll come to me, I'm the bread of life, and I'll give you satisfaction. People are looking for satisfaction all over the world. They're looking here, there, yonder, materialism, sex, alcohol, drugs, entertainment, all kinds of things, education, you name it. They're looking for satisfaction in that. They want joy. They want peace. They want satisfaction. They want happiness. And yet, so many of them do not find it. This is very obvious that when they're interviewed, many of these important people do not have that joy and that happiness. Why is that? Because all of these things, my dear friend, are the byproduct of being saved. These things come after you take the bread of life. These things come after you let Jesus into your life. And you're not going to find it apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the promise that He gives that is connected with salvation. So we need to seek Him preeminently. We need to seek the Lord Jesus Christ purposely. And He tells us that it's a labor in verse 27. You see, God does business with those who mean business with God. If we mean business with God, God will do business with us. You don't have to worry about that. And some of these people left, and they didn't do what they were supposed to do when they met the Lord Jesus Christ. And He said, I'm the bread of life, take me. And some of them said, no, we don't want you. They didn't mean business with God. They had no appetite for the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever been around a man or anybody that's really, really hungry? They have no food. I've seen them get food out of garbage cans in some of the foreign countries. And I'm sure in some of our larger cities here, you'd see that if you stayed around long enough. They're hungry. They're so hungry that they don't care if they have to reach down in a garbage can and get some kind of leftovers out of there and eat it, because they are hungry. A hungry man, if you feed a hungry man, you don't see the hungry man say, I don't like the china, I don't like the glassware, I don't like the glass, I don't like the silverware you set before me. No, a hungry man says, I'll humble myself. You tell me where to sit down, bring the food on. I'm hungry, I want it. And some people are just not hungry for Jesus. You know, some people come to church and they're just not hungry for Christ. And they come to church and instead of being hungry for Christ, they begin to criticize, and they criticize the church or the message or the messenger or something about the church. You see, they came to be critical of the church. But let me tell you something. If you will come seeking the bread of life, the Lord Jesus Christ, you will find Him. You'll find Him every time, because that's who we lift up. Come seeking Christ, and then you can be satisfied. And Jesus said, He that cometh to me shall never hunger. Well, what is Jesus talking about? He's just saying we're going to be satisfied. Go back to Thanksgiving, if you would. What do we do on Thanksgiving? We usually, around 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, whatever it is, when everybody gets in there, there's always a, you know, sort of a late member of the family or relative that drags their feet, and they finally get in, and about 2 o'clock, you begin to eat, and you eat a tremendous meal. And then you take a second helping, and you eat some more. And then what do you say? You say, somebody says, you want some more? And they said, no, that's all I can eat. I'm satisfied. That's all I can eat. That's at 2 o'clock. 8 o'clock, where are you? Back at the refrigerator, opening it up, getting some turkey and mayonnaise, and putting it on some sandwich bread and a good glass of buttermilk or milk, sweet milk, and you eat again. And then you eat the rest of the time. That's what Jesus is saying. In other words, He's not saying that you'll never desire some other things and go through life like that. He's saying whatever you need, whenever you're hungry, whatever you need from me, it's going to be there. It is a perpetual thing, an appetite that is continually satisfied, but it's not satisfied by the world. It is satisfied by Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm satisfied today with Jesus Christ. How about you? And I find that He's always there. And then He is sustaining bread. Sustaining bread. Verses 47 through 51. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I like that. It doesn't say hopes, they do. Are they trying to get it? Are they trying to work their way to heaven? Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness, and they are what? Dead. He said, you can eat manna, but you're still going to die. You can eat all the donuts you want and everything else, but one of these days, if Christ does not come in our lifetime, you're going to die. Because that's just the way it is with the physical food. And He's talking about sustaining bread here. He said, I am the living bread. I came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, me, Jesus, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The whole world can be saved if they want to be saved. If I could package a little pill or some kind of vitamin and say, I can guarantee you that you'll get 50 more years in your life. And even if you're 90, I could say, you take this pill and you'll get 50 more years in your life. Do you know that I could set the price? And if it was limited, people would even kill for it. I believe that. Just to get that extra 50 years. It's so important about the physical. What about the spiritual? Jesus said, I've got a better deal for you than 50 years. If you'll eat of me and take of me, I'll give you eternal life. Everlasting life. Life in heaven. And that's what he's willing to do. Jesus said, feed on me. Accept me as your Savior. Accept me as the bread of life. Get past the miracle. That's all well and good, but see what the miracle was done for, what it is teaching, and that is that I'm the bread of life. Receive me, accept me, live for me, feed on me, and you'll live forever. John 10:10, Jesus said, I've come that ye might have life and have it more abundantly. There's nothing like the Christian life. You say, well, we have problems. Yes, but everybody does. But thank God we have Jesus. We have a stream in the deserts of life. It's there. But Jesus said, I have come that you might have life, eternal life, and have it more abundantly. Friend, a feast is no good unless you sit down and start eating it. It's no good unless you take it and start eating it. It's no good for you. And I've tried to give you a banquet in this sense today to tell you, here's the bread of life. Will you take the bread of life? And to remind you as believers that there's no problem today incorporated in this, a reminder, there's no problem that you have today that Jesus can't solve. That's why some of you probably ought to come to the altar and talk to Jesus about your problem and your challenges today. And we also see that there's no person too small. Bring yourself to the Lord and humble yourself before him and say, God, I want you to use me. I may not have a lot, I may not be much in my own eyes, but here I am, God. Please, please take me. I give you everything. I give you myself. I surrender all to the Lord Jesus Christ, to you, and I want you to use me. And then remember, there's no hunger so deep, so great, but what Jesus can satisfy today. He is the bread of life. He is the answer. Let's stand, please. While our heads are bowed, we'll have a word of prayer. If you're here and you've never been saved, here's what I want you to do. If you're here and you've never been saved, I hope you'll listen now. Step out to the aisle nearest you. People will let you by. We have personal workers that'll be up here to meet you, and they'll tell you what you need to do in order to be saved. If you're here without Christ and you want to be saved, when we start singing, you don't have to wait. Just step out from where you are, come to the front, people will meet you and tell you how to be saved. Christians, I want some of you, as God has spoken to your heart, to say, Lord, I make myself available to you. Maybe you have a low self-image, I don't know, but make yourself available to God. Some of you used to make yourself available and then you quit. You need to have some rededication and come and say, God, I know that you'll use me. I know that you'll do it. God can solve your problem. God wants to use you. And dear friend, if you're lost, he wants to save you. Would you come while we sing?